of his word. And I want to just stay in this particular passage. The shrewd steward, we might title him, and consider these things. First of all, his astuteness and his consideration. We need to consider the things of God very deeply. We need to be aware of our state, our condition. We need to be aware of what the Lord has revealed to us concerning our future. Some are so familiar, they've stopped thinking about these things. They're just little facts in the head. It's as if they won't ever happen. They're there, but we haven't responded in any real way. And that's why the Lord tells this parable, by the way. And he gives this illustration, this simile, with those in this world, how they are with regards to their use and their astuteness of the material things of this life. He says, the Lord says, they are wiser in many ways, and they can teach you something. They can teach you how astute and shrewd you ought to be with regards to spiritual things. For they are the true riches. And by true riches, if I jump ahead, what the Lord means, the difference between these true riches and the riches that some acquire in this life, the material wealth and riches that they possess, properties and so on. The Lord says the true riches are riches that are enduring, that you keep. Once you acquire them, once you are given them, because that's how we acquire the true riches, they're gifts from God. They're yours forever. But it's in those things we are not as astute as the world, says the Lord. That is, children of light. Now, some take this to mean actually Christians. Great Matthew Henry takes it to mean believers, that we're not preparing as well, or are in danger of not preparing as well for eternity. Think ahead. We need a forethought. We need to consider. We need to wisely use what we have, so we're laying up treasures in heaven. But, says the Lord, we're not just as astute as we ought to be, or many of us, or the danger is there that we're not. So he points this out. But I think it has another application. I think we might say that the children of light, in an evangelistic application, are those with some knowledge, wisdom, instruction in spiritual things. But how astute, how wise in their use of them. Well, that's the application. That's the thing. Some will not use them. Some are not using the light that they have. And in that sense, says the Lord, the children of light are not as astute as the worldling in his use of the material possessions and those things that he has acquired in this life and his preparation and so on. So with that, as it were, as an introduction, let's look at the early verses, verses 1-3. He said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I'll read on another few verses. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. I stop there. What is it about this man that results in him being commended in the parable of Christ? Well, it's not his deviousness, as we'll see. It's his astuteness, his aforethought, his planning, his response to a crisis. And it's going to be a big one. He's going to lose his stewardship. He'll lose his status, his position. He'll lose his home. He'll lose his earnings. He's going to be on the street. He's going to be destitute. He's going to have nothing. But he thinks about this. He considers it. Indeed, he thinks very deeply, and he has a plan. He sees there's something I can do. I can avert this disaster. I can avoid homelessness and destitution. I've got a plan. So I want just to apply, first of all, like this to you again. Do you consider? Have you assessed yourself in the light of the teaching of the Bible? Have you considered your future? Let's say, since you're not yet a believer, and I specifically address those that are not, that you have light, you have a knowledge, you have instruction, but you're not being very shrewd or very astute with it. You're not seriously assessing what you ought to do, what you need to do, what's seriously, what's urgently required of you. The stewardship's going to be taken. That just means everything that you have in this world, in this life, it's going to be taken away. That which made life livable, as it were, and brought some measure of contentment or happiness or sense of well-being, that's all going to go. That's the stewardship. That's what you've been given. Now we're meant to make improvement on that. We're meant to see the goodness of God. We're meant to see the mercy of God, the kindness of God, and go beyond that and say, but there are true riches. The true riches are things we'll never lose. We'll lose all these other things because we can't take them with us. And if we die yet unpardoned and unforgiven, it's not only what we'll lose, it's what we will never have. And it's that judgment that will abide upon us forever. Now this man thinks to himself, again, he thinks wisely. He's astute. He's been lazy. He's been guilty. Why? He seems to concede and accept that he's rightly going to lose his stewardship. He knows that. Verse 1 tells us that there was a certain rich man, the Lord's parable, which had a steward. The same was accused unto him, that he had wasted his goods. He makes no, even in the parable, that is, if we can extrapolate that, he doesn't seem to say to himself, it isn't true. I'm not guilty. These are false accusations. No, he accepts. What his Lord knows or has heard is true. So he's guilty. He's rightly going to lose all that he has. He's going to be put out. Now, do you recognize that in yourself? Have you seriously considered, would you stand and look in the mirror and say, if God takes everything from me, if it's true that when I leave this world, I go with nothing, everything that's made life, a life in measure of happiness, pleasures, good times, the intellect I was blessed with, the things I acquired materially through my study and my work and so on, the friends I was blessed to have, I'm losing them all. My family, those that care about me, any sense of good and awareness of compassion and love and affection for me and that I in some measure have been able to give to others, that goes too. There's none of that outside of the kingdom of Christ. Have you seriously thought about this? Here is a shrewd man. He accepts it. He knows it. He knows what's going to happen. And he's got a plan to avert it. Have you? It's not your plan, of course. But there is a wondrous plan. And it's been carried out, perfected, completed. It's the plan of God to save you. It's the love of Christ coming to the cross, dying in anguish to procure your pardon and peace and the true riches, everlasting life, the knowledge of God, intimate communion with God, the blessings of the Lord. Christ-like character. And when you get these, the true riches, again, they're yours eternally. He'll never take them back. Once he's given them, they're yours forever. That's the plan. But you need to think shrewdly. You need to be astute and handle this knowledge wisely, urgently. So he knows it's his own folly that's caused him to lose these, or he's about to. But just acknowledge, having assessed yourself in the light of God's word and what the Lord says about you, about us all, as we're born corrupt and alienated from him, sons and daughters of Adam, tainted by original sin, just accept and acknowledge that. But do so sincerely and respond. Call out to the Lord. So he does the serious thinking. And then he looks at his options. So he doesn't like them. Verse 3. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I don't like those options. I don't want to go down that road. I'm not going to become a beggar. I'm not going to become a mere laborer. No, I can do better than that. This is what man does sometimes when he, in some measure, considers his standing before God. He sees various options. Doesn't take the one that he ought, the real, the right one, which is the offer of God, but decides to turn over a new leaf. So gets a little bit of religion if he hadn't any before. Maybe some friends, maybe a little bit of church going, listening to a sermon or two, maybe even a prayer or two, or even a daily prayer, but not repentance, not faith. So he rejects the first options that come to mind. And then this is where his astuteness, verse 4, I am resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Now you know what he went on then to do. Verse 5, he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. Now what's he doing? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? He's setting up places to go. He's going to ingratiate himself to some. At least they may reason as he's reasoning. Well, favor for favor. I did you a good turn. Why? These are good bargains, aren't they? They're good deals. You owe what? 100 measures of oil? 50% off. This isn't present day sort of, you put the price away up, then you leave it there for a lot of months, and if somebody's silly enough to buy it at the inflated price, you're making a real killing. But then you can, as some of them seem to do, few months at the price they're supposed to hold it to or at by law, so that when they say sale, that few months later, they're just bringing it down from an inflated, maybe back to the price that they're going to sell it at anyway. And you go out thinking, or I do, well, maybe we don't, we're shrewd enough now. What a bargain I got. Real 25% off. Well, listen, this is real. Here's an astute, here's a shrewd man. He says, 50% off. And what about you? You owe what? Oh, well, I owe, wheat in this case, not oil. So then he owed 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take thy bill and write 80, 20% off. Well, sure, he'll write out the check, as it were. He'll pay the bill on the spot. This is good business. But this is a straight ban. He's going to be out on the street. He wants somewhere to go. He wants lodgings. He wants help. Now, says the Lord, look, verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. It's his wisdom that's being commended, not his deviousness, nor indeed his theft, because actually, in reality, that's what it is. He's not dealing with his own goods when he gives the 50% off and the 20. It's the master's. Still hasn't left his employment and been kicked out yet. So here he goes, the Lord says. He's to be commended. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And now this picture, this illustration. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Well, isn't that true? It's true if you're one of the children of light in the sense I defined it. as being one who has spiritual knowledge, intellectually, brought up in the things of God, heard the gospel many times, been urged and pleaded with and through the Sunday school, perhaps attended an evangelical church, maybe for many years. You've been blessed with a light. You might be called, in that sense, a child of light. You're not from the deepest, darkest, most ignorant place where the gospel's not been heard nor preached. No, God's been so kind. He's been so gracious. He's been so merciful. You've been brought up hearing the truth, walking in the light, receiving light. But as yet, there's no astuteness. You're not shrewd. You're going to lose your stewardship. That's the word. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods, is how the parable begins. Are you wasting the master's goods? Are you making use of what you've been blessed with? Have you truly assessed? Have you thought you're going to lose all this? The sentence is already passed. The verdict is already given. He will take these things from you. You're about to lose that stewardship. Unless you are wise, unless you're astute. Now the Lord counsels, be astute. Be like the wise. Use what you have and benefit from it, that you might be received, end of verse 9, into everlasting habitations, that you might be given the true riches, the things that will not be temporally given, which is what you have now and at the present. Everything materially, everything spiritually at the intellectual level, all the impact of the gospel and Christian parents and Christian teaching and so forth, all that's restrained and kept you from, all that God has spared you by the giving of his light, it's all going to be taken. He has said so. It's as if he's addressing such a person in verse 1. This steward represents everyone that's temporally blessed with God's light, with God's mercy, with God's compassion in this life. So you need to use this knowledge wisely and well. Says Matthew Henry, oh, that we were as wise in our spiritual affairs as the worldlings are in their use of their material blessings. They are out, he says, to improve their opportunities. And in that they teach those that have spiritual light and are children of light, they give us up a wonderful example. Now just to close, and I touch on what are the true riches. And the Lord says, if we cannot use what we have now and been blessed with, if we prove unworthy of those, and as long as we continue unpardoned, unforgiven, as long as we have that knowledge that we need pardon and forgiveness, but do not repent and do not come to him as he calls us to do. He said, you will never have the true riches. You will never be given them. You're proven unworthy of them. No, until you use what you have, you'll never be given the true riches. That's what's meant from verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful, or will be faithful in that which is much. You have to start there. God won't entrust spiritual riches to an unconverted person. He's not going to give you everlasting life until you use what he has given to bring you to repent and to believe on Christ and to call upon the Savior. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is, or will be, would be unjust also in much. It wouldn't profit you. It wouldn't benefit you. You have to belong to the Lord. You have to repent. You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be changed. And then sanctification. Then increased blessings. Again, the true riches that he'll never take from you. So look, come to the Savior. Look to him. Confess your sin. Do some real, genuine self-analysis. Self-assessment. Look at yourself in the light of the Scripture. Ask, what has the Lord given to me? I'm a steward of what it is he has given. How much do I know? What have I been blessed with? Throughout my life, from birth, can I put a list? Can I make that list? Oh, a very long one in the case of some. All the days of my life, I've been privileged. I've been blessed with much. He's given me things materially. He's given me things intellectually, socially, politically, geographically. I know we lament the state of our country and so on. It's still, maybe I'm biased, I suppose you are, I hope so. It's still the best country in the world. Because there's so much in its favor. That's not flattery. That's just a statement of fact. How the Lord's been good to this nation, to this people. How good he's been to you. Do you know the one thing that people must lament most that are lost? And those that have the greatest laments and regrets are those that were most favored to hear the gospel. Because how they would love to hear it, as it were, just one more time. Because then perhaps they see, oh, how privileged I was. Every opportunity God gave to me. And I heard the old message again and again and again. Yes, until it become like water off the duck's back. I wasn't shrewd. I wasn't astute. I didn't use what I was given. I didn't, in realizing I was going to lose all these things. It just did not impact on me what that meant. oh, but 1 second after departing this world and this life, it really will. It most surely will. And there is a gracious and a compassionate Savior saying, turn. Turn. Look to me. Told the children this morning as I close, the Lord put his mission in many different ways, used many words with regards to his coming. He said he had come as a ransom, to pay a ransom price. He said, I am come, though, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. What kind of life was he promising? What is abundant life? What's so awful that you don't want it? What's so unbelievable about the Lord who cannot lie, could not, would not deceive, when he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly? What's so unbelievable about that? Does he not have the power? Does he not have the authority? Was he mistaken? Is it a play on words? Did he not really mean what he said? And it's a sort of a metaphysical language, you know, another realm and virtual, not real. Well, of course it's real. Talk to a real Christian. They'll tell you. They have life. They have life abundant. And they have life eternal. And they're going to experience the pleasures and joys of God eternally. Assess yourself. Analyze. Look at yourself. Have you got a plan? You can avert this loss, this destitution, this eternal destitution and homelessness simply by casting yourself on the Lord and seeking his forgiveness, his pardon. He'll then bless you with the true riches once given, and they're poured out. He'll never take them back. They're the true riches, lasting. Let's sing our closing hymn. It's 51 and version 2. Hymn 51, version 2. God of unfathomable love,